Well, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I greet all that are tuning in to listen with the words of Proverbs 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we gather in our homes and desire to honor and worship you, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would bless the words that are spoken here, that you would guide myself, and we're grateful that Reverend Jake Fraze is able to record with us, and pray that you'd bless both he and his wife. And Lord, we ask for your leading, your Holy Spirit, to guide us in the words that are spoken. And Lord, we just ask for your encouragement for the body of believers. Lord, may we not grow weary, may we not grow faint, may we not be given over to fear, but may we wholly trust in you and be strengthened in this day, desiring to worship you and gather where we can, Lord, to praise your holy name. We thank you and praise you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, it is very sad that we are unable to gather together, as our governments have determined. But I did not come here to complain about what our government decides, even if we don't agree with what they decide. No, I've come to preach something no government, aside from our heavenly governor, can offer, and that is eternal hope, for it is a tree of life, as we read in Proverbs here, that when that desire comes of that hope, it is a tree of life. For this morning's devotion, I will be reading from Romans 8, verses 31 to 37, where Paul encourages the born-again believers that if God be for us, then who can be against us? And he concludes that we are more than conquerors, not of our own strength, but it is through him that we are more than conquerors. Romans 8, verses 31 to 37. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Whoso shall separate us from the love of Christ, shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake shall we be killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Paul begins in verse 31 by summarizing that if these things be true, what things is he referring to? Well, the things that he had spoken of in the first 30 verses of Romans 8, namely that those who have been born of the Spirit, we have been freed from the bondage of sin. We have been justified by the blood of Christ and made children of God. Now, if these things be true of you, then God is truly with you, for Jesus is known as Emmanuel, God with us. And if God is with us, then why worry about seeking the approval of man? Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Now, the leaders of our country and of those countries of this world have been appointed by God and should be respected and prayed for in that regard. But that doesn't mean that they are always wise, nor that they have always the best interest, our best interest in mind. For what has our Prime Minister Trudeau, or our Premier Palliser, or any other man put in a position of power, what have they been willing to sacrifice of themselves personally for your betterment. I don't think there is much that you can think of that they've personally had to sacrifice. But God was willing to sacrifice his son in order that our sin could be pardoned. Jesus was willing to suffer and lay down his life in order to offer us life everlasting. So why do we fear the opinion or judgment of others on us? Do we not believe it is God alone who justifies man, and his justification endures the realm of time? We who were once condemned in our own sins and destined to hell have not only been saved, but have one who intercedes on our behalf, as Paul writes, one who defends us, those who are weak, because he is strong, he is loving, he is personal. That is Jesus, our Lord. Now imagine if you committed a crime in Canada and then had our Prime Minister not only take that punishment for you, paid the fine and served the time, but then he actually went out and told the whole world about you, how you were honored, an honored citizen of Canada. Now that's impossible to think of, I think. I don't see our Prime Minister doing that. And yet our Heavenly Father was willing to send his son to pay our punishment, and that he would honor us, that he would reward us in his heavenly kingdom, that are not worthy of that. That is the hope, that is the guarantee that God has offered to us. And so we should be encouraged and convinced in our hearts that nothing can separate us from that hope that Jesus our Lord offers. Nothing can separate us from his love. In fact, in verse 35, he says that there no tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, none of these things. And I would add, no lockdowns or virus as well. In Psalm 139 is a psalm of that King David writes of man's life. And in there, he too concludes that there is nothing that can separate him from his God. And that is true of every believer, every person of faith in the Lord God. Psalm 139, verses 7 to 10, we read, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." Do we get it? If we've put our faith and trust in Jesus, then he has claimed us by sealing us with his Holy Spirit, and there is nothing that can separate us from him. Now, make no mistake, if we believe the word of God and have asked Jesus to be the Lord of our life, have asked for forgiveness of our sins and truly proclaim that we love him, we are marked. The world will mark us for slaughter, as Paul writes. But more importantly, we have been marked by God for redemption. Paul, in verse 36, quotes Psalm 44, verse 22. But if we read that psalm to the end, we see the hope that David had in Psalm 44. Psalm 44, verses 22 to the end says, "Yea, for the sake are we killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake." Thankfully, our Lord Jesus arose from the grave, gave victory over death, and out of his love offers mercy to those that would be called his sheep. So yes, even today we can come boldly, go out into this world, not fearful, but knowing that we are more than conquerors through Jesus who loves us. More than conquerors means to gain a decisive victory. There is guaranteed victory in Jesus alone. He is our hope and salvation. And once again, there is nothing that can take that hope away, and nothing can separate you from the love of our Lord Jesus Christ.